Can the Lions beat the All Blacks in the second test? Does starting Sexton and Farrell improve the starting 15? And has the New Zealand media's criticism of Warren Gatland gone too far? It's all coming up on The Hard Yards.
The Hard Yards, brought to you by Ladbrokes. Passionate about sport.
And Ringrose comes through. Oh. And he's brilliant from Ringrose. Ringrose is going here. What a score.
I know what website you use most often, but it's a sister of YouTube.
Hi, Rob. Zeebs here. Just want to discuss the captaincy next year.
He's calling.
I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field, not you.
I'd say YouTube is probably YouTube.
You're listening to the Hard Yards Rugby Podcast on Sports Joe. Thank you so much for listening this week. Joe Harrington sitting in for Andy McGeady. And I have James Downey, Fionn Carr and Pat McCarry in studio with me. Ronan O'Gara is on the phone from France. And we'll talk to Stephen Ferris in New Zealand later on, as well as getting betting odds for the second test from Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes. James, it's your first time on the podcast, so you're very welcome. Fionn, you're back after a few weeks. And guys, we were chatting earlier. It's the first time in a long time you guys have been together, I guess. I mean, the last time you were playing together on a pitch was, what, the Churchill Cup in 2009?
Oh, nine, I think. Yeah, we agreed on in the end. Yeah. No, thanks for having me. But yeah, no, it's been a while since I shared the field with Fionn, so good to see him again. He's looking well.
The Churchill Cup. That was in the States, wasn't it?
It was in Denver in the States that year, yeah. It was... it was actually the last Churchill Cup Ireland were on at the time, and we went over, and luckily we got through and beat England in the final, so it was a great old tournament.
Yeah, it was actually a serious team you had that on that trip, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the first year actually Declan Kidney had done it. I think before that it was known as the kind of stag tour, and I missed that one with Michael Bradley, unfortunately, and thought I was in business, but then Decky took the job, so I was like, oh, we're into serious business here.
Yeah. Lads, Warren Gatland, he's 23 for the second test. He named it earlier this morning. I'll just go through the team first and then we'll discuss it. So we've Liam Williams, Anthony Watson, Jonathan Davies, Owen Farrell, Elliot Daly, Johnny Sexton and Connor Murray in the backs. The front row is Mako Vunipola, Jamie George and Tyke Furlong. Second row, Maro Itoje, Alan Wynne-Jones, and then a back row of Sam Warburton, Sean O'Brien and Toby Faletau. The bench is interesting as well. Ken Owens, Jack McGrath, Kyle Sinclair, Courtney Laws, CJ Stander, Reese Webb, Ben Teo and Jack Noel. James, I'll throw it to you first. What's your reaction to that 23?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that, to be honest. I think some changes needed to be made. It's interesting how attacking minded he seems to have gone with the 10-12. I'm sure Roger will have a few insights on that one. I think it's going to be defensively might be a little bit weaker there in that midfield, but I think they have to go for it now. Second test, been 1-0 down, they need to get that equaliser. So I'm happy enough again with the back row. Obviously extremely harsh on Pete, the way things are, but he's obviously seen that Warburton's got to target that breakdown, and it's a big area for them that they need to slow down the Kiwis.
Yeah, Fionn, how are you feeling after you saw the 23?
The back line, I think it's a great attacking back line. I think Owen Farrell is going to bring that extra element, the passing skill in there that maybe Teo didn't bring the last day, and maybe cost a try in the end. But I think the back three went really well, and I think the impact off the bench with Noel and Teo and Reese Webb is going to be massive. You can get half an hour of those guys, even 20 minutes, and they're going to bring massive impact across the pitch.
Yeah, the biggest news story, I suppose, it seemed Johnny and Owen Farrell in the same team. Rog, were you surprised when you saw the team?
I was, yeah. I must admit, I didn't think there would any way go for it, considering the last 30 minutes of that. I didn't think it worked, because I just think maybe we probably underappreciate, I think, how good the All Blacks are as well. I just think it works against most teams, but the last 30 minutes, when it should have worked, it didn't work. I thought the Lions lost energy when Teo went off. I thought he was their best back, and I think it demotivated the whole team. So it'll be interesting dynamic to see how this goes. I think the one area they will have a big improvement on would be they'll have, as well, 7 days to plan their whole team attack around the fact that the two of them are playing. You looked at times, the last even off the midfield scrum, they played a play to the left touchline and a one-pass play, and there was complete breakdown in communication. So that shouldn't be happening. But I just don't think I don't think it worked. You just look, I don't think anything much works against Sonny Bill Williams either when he's carrying. So it'll be, all as you said, all the lads said, depending on how much they can slow down the New Zealand ball. But I think they have about four or five different avenues to attack the Lions, and I think that irrespective of who they pick to 10, 12, 13, I feel they'll be too good for them.
Yeah, when you say it didn't work, like, what exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean the game plan of having 6 and a 10, Farrell at 12, and their dynamic?
Well, I thought if they were going to play, when they came in, I suppose the idea was to put shape on the game. I think they lost shape when the two of them came in.
Okay.
It didn't look like other players were on the same wavelength. That's not necessarily the fault of Farrell or Sexton, but it looked to me that the plan, in terms of usually if you're having two ball players, you have an idea where you're going to play probably minimum three or four plays ahead of everything. So, you know, in five phases time, you'd like to end up here and you're going to have the front row in front and you're going to try and manipulate them. But I just think that when they came the last day, because of the pressure, I suppose, that the New Zealand has exerted on the Lions in the first 50 minutes, a lot of the Lions players were fatigued. I don't think they were running good lines, so there was not many passing avenues for the two lads, because, you know, I suppose the one crucial element is that both of them are distributors, I would think. None of them are kind of really... go to the line, go through gap men either. You know, you look, contrast that in terms of Bowden and Barrett, and I think that's, I suppose, what kills all teams is the speed of Bowden and Barrett. And I think all of us just watching from a rugby point of view, you just have to be impressed with his capacity just to, I suppose, he didn't do it last week, but he's done it in his 50 tests for New Zealand, his capacity, I suppose, just to play what's in front of him and go through and then offload, which New Zealand are in a different world as of the minute.
Yeah, Roger, I was saying, were you surprised with Farrell's game himself? Like, it was the quietest he's probably been in the last few months. Is it like, is that on him, or is that on the pack? Pack kind of getting marched around the place.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Jimmy would know as much as I do there, because we have chatted many a times in the past. You know, you look so much better at 10 and 12 if your forwards are have at least parity. If they're going forward, you're in for a great day. It's an armchair ride. The Lions didn't do that the last day. They didn't give their halfbacks. We saw the best of Conor Murray in kicking the ball in the air. There are so many other components to his game. Farrell didn't have a major influence on the game because he was kind of starved of possession. And I think the other area too is that New Zealand won the contact and won the collisions, and if you win the collisions, everything is easier. But New Zealand were really smart in the way they played it too, because, you know, just negating the Lions' line speed and attacking in and around the rock. So in terms of Farrell, he didn't really tactically, I suppose, kick the ball with ball in hand. He was fine, but it's very hard to have a big influence on the game when even as a 10 he felt like an outsider.
Yeah, James, what about Farrell at 12? Like, what do you like about him in that position? What are your strengths?
Attacking wise, I like the way he can bring in the back three, and with that back three they need to get the ball going forward. I think, obviously, I thought Theo was very good last week and how he negated Sonny Bill and hit him pretty hard a good few times, you know, but I think attacking wise it was a bit of a deflection away from getting the ball to the back three, and he wasn't distributing as much, and I think for a first test it was interesting to have that point. But Farrell, for me, yeah, he brings in the lads outside him, you know. I think his communication, how he goes about his business. I think I like to see a second 10, a 12 normally, to be honest, and a bigger 13, just to change up the area of attacks. And I think the Farrell can give that second distributor again. You can play left and right. I know they didn't do it, as Rog rightly said, the last day, but maybe starting together, they've been training all week together in this position, so hopefully they'll have a bit of a better understanding coming in this week. And defensively would be the only area of concern for me. I think even when they first came on the last day, they just hit Sonny Bill and he carried about 10-15 yards, and it's quite easy, to be honest. So how long they can do that for, I don't know.
And it changes the game for Liam Williams as well, right?
Sorry there, Joe.
Go on.
What James said there, like, as he, I think because you know, Johnny is such a good defender, and the fact that he takes everybody high and it works 90% of the time, and just on that point you looked at the last, I don't know, maybe there isn't a way of stopping Sonny Bill Williams, but I think he'd win most collisions when you try and stop him upright. And it was a very good point that James brings up there. Everyone, I think, has that image in their head of him just carrying. And I'd say the point of contact for the first hit on him was maybe 15 metres before where he ended up. And if you have that all day, I think it just, after a while, it tells.
Do you think as well, Rod? Do you think as well, with you've got Warburton in there now, and if they are going to concede those yards, and if they do eventually get him down, that he'll be, like, his job is to get in on that ball and try and...
Yeah, I see that. I completely understand, but... I think all of us watch a lot of rugby, okay, but I think, like, for me, the fella that does that at best is Pocock. Maybe I'm missing it, but is Warburton in that league in terms of slowing down and poaching the ball? I thought he was a really good athlete and a link man, but I think he gets maybe two turnovers a game, but I don't think he's ever hit six or seven, has he?
No,
maybe he has.
No, but like he, I thought he was great against Ireland back in the Six Nations. But like, I just looked back in the game there and a couple of times, and he slowed the ball down once really well in the Lions 22 there when the Lions were in trouble. But apart from that, there was not much else like that anybody else was doing, and he was talked up as like Warburton has to come back in, and like I still haven't seen it yet on this tour what he's supposed to be kind of bringing to the Lions.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think for me last week, I think there was big pressure from the media on them to, because that back row did a job against them, the Crusaders, excellent performance, and did well against the Maoris. All of a sudden, this was kind of the momentum back row, and it was in, and there was a bit of, I suppose, public sway behind that, and it seemed to me that Warren was happy to go with that because Warburton was off the pace a little bit. But in terms of a Lions test game, I don't know, the 6 days preparation after a long season make that much of a difference. But now all of a sudden Peter played well, I thought, for 53 minutes, then he's you can understand Warburton starting ahead of him, but it seems to me that he's just kind of decided this is the way he's going to go.
Yeah, Fionn, what do you make of Peter being dropped from the 23? It's obviously very tough on him, but in terms of, like, let's take our Ireland caps off here. I mean, if you look at Warburton, is it a better team?
Personally, I think it is very harsh on Pete being dropped. But going from captain out of the 23, like, for anyone and anywhere, that's going to be a tough thing to take. I think Peter, like Rog said, he did play really well for 53 minutes. What Warburton's going to bring is, I don't know if he's going to bring, he's going to have to go on the ball. That's what I think Gatland is going to look for him to do there, to slow down that New Zealand ball. And that's something the Lions are going to have to do. New Zealand, they were just so dominant in the pack the last day that the back row are going to have to step up and slow down that ball some way. He's got CJ on the bench. CJ brings, he's a massive abrasive man. He's going to carry hard again. Yeah. Is he going to slow ball? I don't know. So I think it's very harsh on Peter there. I think he was unlucky not to start, and I definitely thought he was going to be in the 23, but I'm sure Warburton will step up. And I think Gatland's probably gone from the point of view, as in he was named captain to start in the tour, so I think he's given him his shot now in the second test.
James, what do you think of that of Warburton? I mean, it changes the team really, doesn't it? I mean, the way he plays compared to Pete, and even in the line-out, I mean, this Pete's a great option.
Yeah, exactly, and I was quite surprised at it, to be honest, and especially to be dropped out of the full 23. I see that he seems to be reacting an awful lot to what's been said around him. I think Rog alluded to it there in terms of how the press and people are getting on his back, and he sees, like, what, maybe Fionn mentioned it a little bit, but he's mentioned him as captain, and look, is this his chance? You know, he's got to change it up for this test. He's looking for something different. Warburton's got a lot of pressure. He's got to slow down ball. If he doesn't slow down ball or get turnovers, there's no point in him having him there, to be honest. He's got to really do that, and not to be on the bench. I guess you're looking for those big impact players. I know. I think Pete leads from the front a hell of a lot more than coming on as an impact, and I'd prefer to go in with him starting rather than being on the bench. But CJ's going to be up for it. He's been frustrated, I think, in the last not getting a sniff.
Is it the first time that in Warren Gatland's coaching career that he's gone with two ball players? Every time his focal point for Wales was Jamie Roberts. all in his two Lions tours, big for centre. Who had Wasps playing at 12?
Was it Fraser Waters?
Yeah,
maybe Geoff Lucy or there. Yeah. There was, but it was exactly that. It was pretty up and down. You know, it was having a solid.
It'd be an interesting selection meeting, as you said, because I would think that Gatland would have gone for Teo all day. You know, like last week, I would think it'd be interesting to know exactly what happened in that selection meeting in terms of.
Is it
Warren's? Is he, you know what I mean, handing over, not handing over the baton, but is he kind of happy to go with the two ball players? But I don't think he's ever gone into big games with this formula or with this policy. So it'll be interesting to see the body language between those coaches as well, I think.
Yeah. Whether it's do you think it could be whether Farrell Senior would have had much more of an impact than that, rather like if it's going to be a Welsh kind of.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, every time Warren has always had, I think, especially with the, for me, I thought George North would come into the team, but I read he's been ruled out with injury.
Hamstring, yeah.
And I thought they might have gone North and Teo. But now it seems they've come to completely the other side. They've gone for just kind of speed and ball player, isn't it? Because the back five are, well, Johnny, Farrell, Watson, Liam Williams, and
Elliot Daly.
Like, they're not kind of the fellas that should be would be bowling you over, you would think, anyway. No. Unless I'm seeing a different picture, but
it did kind of work last Saturday when they got the ball to Williams and Watson. Though they did have the ability to open up the All Blacks, didn't
yeah
they?
I think yeah well that well that's kind of I would more think that was off counter attack and broken field play, wasn't it? Watson had one brilliant run.
Williams,
not really backline play, you know. I think that's where Liam Williams did that all last summer that people forget. For Wales, he was nearly man of the series when they kept it. Wasn't one break he did it. I think he ripped them open over 3 weeks, maybe seven or eight times. So he has the capacity to do that. It's I think from a pure old school point of view, when there's backline against backline, you'd love to see the Lions have a go off scrums, because that's the best attacking platform, and it'll be interesting to see how they will do that, you know. Or if they will do that.
But that's what I'd expect them to do now, having positioned this side, you know. I think, as you say, off that platform of a scrum, if they there's no point in trucking anyone up or hitting Johnny Davies up. It's just it's just a waste of that possession and that second distributor. Get the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, James, as you say. Will they actually look to rip him off first phase, or will they try and go to width to play phase play? If they go that way, I think it could be dangerous, because New Zealand will slow down the ball in the wide channels, and then you know, I mean, if the Lions don't get on the front foot, then the left and right, if you're trying to play with two ball receivers off a lot of ball, it's a long day for everyone, we all know.
Is Fionn, just to bring you in there, like Liam Williams, obviously he got a lot of headlines for the break for Sean O'Brien's try, and throughout the game he looked quite dangerous. Is he the kind of key guy in that backline, the guy that's going to cause him problems like he did last summer at Wales? Is he the guy we need a big performance from again?
I think so. I think he's going to be he's got a pivotal role there in the back. He's going to be Marshall and Watson and Daly. I think the last day he looked off that ball came into the 22 deep, and he looked to run straight away, which was fantastic. I don't think New Zealand were expecting it. I think they thought he was going to turn and kick. He caught Cruden unaware, and he made a massive break. He brought Elliot Daly straight into it then, which Daly, again, I think he's that type of player. He's massive pace, but he's got massive awareness as well. He caught I think it was maybe Israel Dagg on the outside, the stop start, and that's what created the space then to put Sean O'Brien away.
Yeah, James, you made an interesting point earlier, because Teo is out, Liam Williams loses a bit of protection there.
Yeah, he can do. He's to have someone that solid in midfield actually can, you know, kind of like softens up your back three, that they can have a good carry, or they can have a good day at the office, good armchair ride maybe. But I think I think the two lads are Dr. Tens, to have the 10 and 12 been able to communicate. I wouldn't be having too many Rogers in there, you know. Sorry, Rog. I'm only kidding. But like, if you had
no, you're right.
No, but if I had to have Teo, look, he's going to come on with impact. He's going to be frustrated himself. But yeah, I really do think they had to do something different, change something up. And maybe this is Warren saying as well, look, giving two fingers up to people saying, look, I'm giving what you're calling for, and see what happens. And if not, he'll 100% revert to type for the last test and just try and save face nearly.
Yeah, the bench is exciting though. You have like the power of Stander, the speed of Webb, the power of Teo again, and then the kind of wild card that is Jack Noel. Do you like that a lot better than last week, Rog? There's a lot of variation, a lot of potential impact there.
Yeah, it has to be, Joe. There has to be, though. I think people maybe underestimate that. I think there's a mentality around that, you know what I mean, weaker players are, you're 16 to 23. That actually isn't the way. I think Eddie Jones calls them finishers, and sometimes people are more suited to that role to get maximum impact for their team. And I know from being, I suppose, in a management setup that you have to have that impact. You have to have people that will add value and do more than the people that are replacing. If you have substitutes that are looking to come in and do the role of the people they're replacing, you're finished. The squad is dead. It's all over. So in that capacity, I think Reece Webb is excellent at doing that. He always adds value to it. He always has an impact on the game. CJ Stander can definitely do that. I don't know as 100% with his ankle, because CJ Stander that we saw 6 months ago would rip it up. He's had a long season, I'd say, emotionally and physically, and he should be so proud of what he has done so far. But there has to be that little bit more for him, and I think he will get to the level required to take on Kieran Reid. Noel, I think, has come back. We've seen anyone who watches Exeter Chiefs, you have to be impressed. The guy has a capacity, I suppose, to score, and that's what you need. You need people who can get over the whitewash, because I think that's something that's been missed a lot, is that I think you're going to need 4 tries to beat New Zealand. We got 2 last week, 1 in the last minute when the game was dead. So you're looking for nearly a 50% improvement in terms of tries scored. There's no halfpenny, obviously, in terms of kicking goals. Farrell will give you 8 out of 10 kicking, I think. Halfpenny will give you 10 out of 10, but the template was set, I suppose, in terms of how to go about it in Chicago by Ireland, but I think that has to be the template by 15 players, 23 players, because if there's 1 or 2 fellas off in terms of the intensity created by a team, you're going to miss the boat against a team as good as New Zealand.
Isn't that the annoying thing, that like we've seen how you can beat the All Blacks? The All Blacks haven't been beaten for 2 years, but Ireland went over and showed everybody, go at them hard, commit guys to the ruck to slow them down, just outgassed them. You see Schmidt didn't go for Mahoney and O'Brien.
Pat, I think that all sounds like words. Having spent 2 weeks in there, the amount of detail and I suppose the understanding and the trust between Irish players, that's the argument, is how long does it take all these great players to get up to speed, to trust each other? Does it take more than 2 months? It probably does, because you can be sure that Ireland in Chicago were so, so organised to put in a performance of that intensity, of that structure, of the, I suppose, ferocity to outdo the All Blacks. And is that mantra, I suppose, in the Lions camp? I don't know.
Yeah, can you do it in 6 weeks? It's kind of, you knew this New Zealand, you knew what they were going to bring. You knew they were going to bring this pace and this offloading game, and it's annoying to kind of see that we're all talking about slowing it down when you know that Ireland did it another way. But you know, you do have a point that, can you really get these guys to trust each other and kind of get that detailed?
Well, exactly. Because for rugby, where rugby breaks down is that when pressure comes on, if you have English fellas reverting to type, Irish fellas reverting to type, and Welsh fellas, when the pressure comes on, that means that you've 3 people doing 3 different things. How do your teammate know what you're going to do? While in a national camp, you've discussed it for months and you've applied the one set of rules, and when pressure comes on, unless your teammate bails out on you know he's going to do this. So for example, when Ireland attack wide, you know there's going to be a ball carrier who'll fight like hell to present the ball, and you'll have 2 cleaners and 1 guy at safety. But is that 100% set in stone by the Lions or not? Because they've only had 8 weeks to establish rules, and when the heat comes on, usually rules break down.
Do you think that's why he's gone with Johnny and Connor at 9-10, Rog?
Yeah, but if that's the case, then why didn't they go with Bestie, you know? Then you'd have a spine of a team in terms of good beating the All Blacks. I don't know, Sean, I don't know. I think definitely there's a lovely harmony between the two of them, but if that was the case, I think... speaking to people over there, I think they put a massive emphasis on Test 1, and I felt that that was the team that was probably picked by them before they even in 90% of the case I thought it was going to be Murray Farrell, and it went like that for the first test. Now I think there's been a bit of a reaction, as James has said, and they're kind of going, well, you've all kind of said at times, let's see how Johnny and Farrell go, so let's see how Johnny and Farrell go, and then if they don't do the business, don't blame me kind of attitude, you know.
Yeah, but I think like you're saying, how the combinations of people working and the different nationalities, and you think that's why maybe beforehand Gatland would have gone for a predominantly Welsh side, because they do revert to type. You are in that 60th minute, you are in those championship minutes, and you do revert to type. But do you not think that again is the beauty of the Lions, to come up against the top team in the world who know each other, and like you're talking about Kieran Reid's offload, and just know, maybe he doesn't know someone's there, or they know, they trust everyone because they're training every week in, week out, they're in camps together, and the beauty of the Lions is that we come together from different nations and we learn, and like if we can turn these over, it's a hell of an achievement.
Like the whole concept, I'm a massive fan of. I think it's those tours are the best days of your life, and I was wanting to treat them, and the amount you learn it's fantastic. But I think what people need to recognise, it's not touring Australia, it's not touring South Africa. Anyone who spent time down in New Zealand, you have to appreciate what you're going into. So ever since that last test, the focus will be on test two, and the lads trying to, go away for a recovery swim on a Sunday morning and go for a coffee. They'd be bombarded by the locals you're going to get it next Saturday night, the cake tin, you know. They just absolutely love it and live for it, and it's like Ireland, just having everyone. So if the only sport was GAA, that's the mentality down there. It's all consuming, and it gets to people in different ways, and pressure does funny things to it. And some people, I can remember 2005, we were rooming on our own, and it was unbelievably depressing and difficult. Just kind of being beaten and being beaten resoundingly, and trying to stay positive and rooming on your own, going back and watching New Zealand TV at night time in your bedroom on your own. It was like, oh no, this is tough, but there's a challenge in that, and that's when the great characters come up, and that's when fellas like Sean O'Brien was playing so well, because he's a great tourist, he'll play well again on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think, because you see the character of the teams. But I think for getting back to your point, James, I think it is extremely difficult in that short space of time to piece together a game plan capable of beating the best team in the world, is how best I could put it, maybe.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'd agree with, like, in terms of if you were playing in Australia or South Africa, I'd be a lot more confident in an outcome, you know.
Lads, the referee on Saturday morning is Jerome Garces, and the Kiwis were kind of complaining about French referees or Northern Hemisphere referees in the warm-up games. Fionn, do you think the fact that Garces is in there, Northern Hemisphere referee, will that have an impact on the game?
I don't think so. I think all the referees are going to come across with the same mantle. Both the Lions and the All Blacks are going to have their analysis done on Garces, what are his picking points, whether it's going to be people off their feet early, hands in ruck. They're going to know that straight away. Garces will have pictures, they'll see that in their analysis, and they're going to have their homework done. The media are giving out, maybe to a certain extent, the New Zealand media, but I don't think it's going to change much.
Raj, what about you? Like Garces, what does he like? What doesn't he like?
I'd say that's very different in terms of, I think they have different rules for when they ref international games and they have different rules for when they ref top 14 games, because if there's a penalty count like there is in a top 14 game on Saturday morning, you may as well keep putting the kettle on because the game won't go anywhere. He will, I think he'll have a massive influence on the game. I think they always do, I think there is the capacity. You look at Pot and his positioning in the game on Tuesday, how many times is he in the way? That can't be happening at this level of the game. I think Arsez is the same. I think Northern Hemisphere, the French, I think you have to make that distinction between them. They have been down there, I suppose. The good thing is they've been there for a large number of weeks. I presume there's a lot of internal meetings going on between World Rugby and the referees, because this is the showpiece for anyone interested in rugby or watching these games. So they have to be making a concentrated effort to keep the game flowing. But I think Garces does understand the general points. I think there'll be a big emphasis on scrum again this week. I think that was a key turning point, but it probably got missed in the Kieran Reid sensational off-road. Teams in the world, every other team in the world, would be happy to take 3 points after the forwards milled the other opposition scrum. But what did New Zealand do? A bit of magical genius from Reid and flips the ball up and try and 7 points instead of 3 and the game over. So scrum is always big, and it's great to see that scrum is still so important. I think Sean said it, that if both teams will analyse it, and from there I think your capacity to keep disciplined and adapt, which the Lions haven't done as well as they should have done this tour, will be crucial.
Yeah, we'll chat about the New Zealand team with Fez in a few minutes. But Raj, before we let you go, when are you back in for pre-season? Are you back in already?
Tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, brilliant. Can't wait. Won't sleep tonight.
You're not running at all, though.
I'll be watching fellas like James Downey and their heyday suffer after 6 flagons of cider on a Wednesday night.
do you miss the first day of pre-season, James, at all, though?
Certainly not. No, not at all. I sleep easy these days, so it's no worrying about
shuttles. It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It's not too bad. It's even better when you're putting someone else through it. So,
do you boys ever remember an especially tough one with Munster when you were together down there?
Oh, they were all horrible. Those 100-meter shuttles and then the short shuttles and in a row, and you had to try and catch a tennis ball after. So that wasn't
that evening. Yeah, when you hit the couch, it's a great feeling. But like it's brutal for 3 weeks. But I think it's fundamental for creating team spirit and for having a great bond the next whatever 3-4 weeks. We had a pre-season of 4 days last year, and played a game on the 5th day. So thankfully that nonsense is finished with me. But imagine that, 4 days, and then play Toulouse on a Friday, starting on a Monday and play Toulouse on a Friday, because you get punished in France if you win the top 14, you know.
Yeah, how did you get on against Toulouse in that game?
I think it was a draw in the end.
No, we won.
Yeah, exactly. We were all winners.
Raj, we'll let you go. Thanks a million for that.
Right, cheers, lads.
Cheers, Raj.
Up next, we'll chat to Stephen Ferris in New Zealand about that New Zealand team and to get a feel for how things are on the ground there.
The message to the players before we left the UK and Ireland was that to come out to New Zealand to play the All Blacks, you have to take risks.
I was surprised a little bit at Steve Hansen in terms of, normally he's pretty calm. You know, it's unlike Steve, maybe he's a little bit worried about potentially how good this team could be. To play the All Blacks and beat the All Blacks has got to be another step up.
We know we've got to be courageous coming here, we know we've got to be bold, and we've got to go and play some positive rugby.
We're here to win a Test series.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. If you are listening for the first time, please subscribe to it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, SoundCloud, and every other good podcast app to get it straight to your phone every Thursday. We chatted about the Lions there in depth with Rog, Fionn, and James. Now we're going to chat a bit about New Zealand because Stephen Ferris is on the ground there. Fez, how's the form?
Yeah, good, thanks, good. As I said earlier on there, boys, I'm a little bit hungover. I was out, we went for a round of golf yesterday, we had a day off, so went for a round of golf, took Sean Fitzpatrick out by the roots, Scott Cornell as well, he got a bit of a pasting, so it was a good day all round, and then half two, we got on the beers, and finished up at half four this morning, so and then, funny enough, went out and had another game of golf today, so as you can tell, as you can hear, I've been working very, very hard.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that because we've seen you on the television, but apart from that, but judging by your Instagram is actually like, it's an ad for New Zealand tourism at the moment. You're getting around a lot.
Well, funny enough, it was the New Zealand Tourist Board that paid for the golf yesterday.
Oh, very good. Yeah. How did you shoot today, actually, with that hangover?
Yeah, actually not too bad. 34 points. I was playing with a guy called Clark Laidlaw, who's played in Scotland. He coaches seven, so he's actually becoming the head coach, taking over the head coach job for the New Zealand sevens, which was pretty cool to chat to him for a couple of hours around the golf course. And an old Lions man, Gareth Davis, who played in the centre for the Lions in 1980. So I was playing alongside him and the other fella, Duncan, who was entertaining us. So it was good crack. The weather over here actually in Wellington is fantastic. I think it's due to change dramatically come Saturday for the match. But the weather at the minute has been great. So more or less in Auckland, the weather was very, very poor, so seen a lot more of my hotel room, and so with the weather being good, decided to get out and about and organise a couple of things and some of the time we had off.
Let's chat about that New Zealand team. If you're listening and you haven't seen it or heard it yet, I'll just go through it. It's Dag, Naholo, Leonard Brown, Sonny Bill Williams, Ione, Barrett and Aaron Smith in the back line. Then it's Moody, Taylor, Franks in the front row, Retallick and Whitelock in the second row, and Kane, O'Kane and Reid in the back row. Guys, in terms of the changes, like Naholo and Leonard Brown in there, Fionn, I mean, it doesn't really weaken them too much, does it?
Nah, New Zealand are never going to be much weaker. Like it's like for like, really. Naholo is a serious attacking threat there. I know Ben Smith's gone. Moving Dag to fullback, he can play wing or fullback. He's fantastic there. So I think, in fact, our team's just as strong as it was the last time. I think, as we spoke with James and Rog, they're only going to get stronger as these tests move on. So the Lions will need to up their game now the next day again.
It's impressive, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it really is. The depth they have there is something else, and especially with Leonard Brown coming, he's a huge, huge
like
player.
Him?
Yeah, I do indeed. Yeah, even the guy on the bench, Lemape, who played for the Chiefs on Wednesday, he's some impact and engine on him, and this year he's been unbelievable for the Chiefs. So he'll be chomping at the bit to get on there and really, really get in there. But look, it's the All Blacks end of the day. It doesn't really matter who's in those jerseys. It's the biggest challenge they have in front of them. So hopefully we can take it to them.
Yeah, Fez, after the first test, were all the Kiwis down there pretty pleased with the performance?
Yeah, I think so. It's not that they were arrogant, but they kind of said, "Oh well, I told you so." You know, they think that they can win every game, and so they should with the team that they've got. But you know, everybody down here, all the Kiwis, think that they're going to win 3-0, and you know, you've every reason to kind of agree with them after, you know, the display they put in last Saturday, because the weather conditions was very, very difficult. There was rain coming in sideways at times throughout the match, and their handling and the way they attacked, that unbelievable defence that the Lions were supposed to have, you know, they just went through the middle of them. And they were very, very impressive to watch, and you know, a lot of brilliant individual performances as well. So the Kiwis over here, as you can imagine, are all up the high dough, thinking that they're going to win 3-0, and you know, not too many people are disagreeing with them.
Yeah, Rog touched on the Kieran Reid piece of skill where he kind of just somehow shoveled the ball out of the ground and onto Aaron Smith. Was that a huge talking point after the game in New Zealand? Were people raving about that? Because it was like Twitter blew up when it happened anyway.
Ferris-like, wasn't it, that move?
Yeah.
Ferris-like. I would have just fallen on the ball, I think, try to get the penalty. But they had the penalty advantage, and I suppose he just had a bit of confidence that, you know, he could get the ball away. And there was the TMO obviously went back to see if there was a knock on, but it was a foot that knocked it forward and he flicked it up. And a guy who hasn't, what's he played, 4 games or something in the last 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
You know, to come in, he played 75 minutes or whatever, and, you know, for me, he was probably the man of the match. So yeah. He's an unbelievable player. And I think the one thing, being in New Zealand, everybody's talking about New Zealand, and everybody knows that Kieran Reid is the captain of New Zealand. So if he's fit, he plays. Where the Lions are, now they've got rid of Pete O'Mahony, he's not even in the 23, they're bringing the tour captain Sam Warburton back in, and it's sort of, nobody understands their place within the Lions team, where the New Zealanders, they just know exactly, you know, Kieran Reid's the man to lead us out here, where the Lions is all over the place. That's the kind of feeling at the minute over here.
Yeah, like I said, sorry Pat, like I know Fez is joking about falling on the ball, but guys, that piece of skill by Reid, like how difficult is that? Especially, I mean, like obviously we've seen slow-mos of it and it looks great, but like in the heat of battle and like real time, how difficult is that?
Yeah, you had the refs give an advantage there, so he knows in the back of his mind he can either go down and take the penalty, but like the piece of skill, he's literally nearly lying on the ball to get it flicked up. Aaron Smith does look a little bit surprised, which is great, because he's then got the ball, he's realised he's in massive space. By the time he gets it, he's nearly on 10 to 12 and he's passed it out, and the overlap's there. It's created the try. It's little bits of skill like that that will win you games when you have advantage like that. And I think teams like New Zealand, when they do get advantage, I think they look to go for the juggler there. They're not the type of team that are going to fall on the ball, look to kick the penalty. They're going to go for the try every time.
And James, one of the keys as well, I guess, is always knowing there's someone on that support line for you.
That's it. And it's all the way through the way they've played, like even in Super Rugby. It's that trust. It's the small and tricky plays that they have, even for the little line breaks, balls back inside. It's nothing extremely difficult, but it's a skill under pressure that they're able to produce, and that's why they're the top team in the world to produce those skills under that pressure. When someone's right in your face, and that little offload, 99% of the time the defender will come up and they'll stop that offload. They're getting it away and they're getting in behind then, and that's just causing awful havoc, and then that's when the All Blacks feed off things when on from football.
Yeah, there was so many amazing pieces of skill in that game. Barrett's pick up and the hooker picking it out of his laces as well for the first try was amazing. Fez, just while we have you, obviously we had three backs in the studio, so we didn't get into the forward selection too much, but what do you make of Atoje and Warburton coming into the Lions back there?
Yeah, it's a huge talking point, and has been over the last couple of weeks, about the second row combinations. Obviously, it didn't really work last Saturday. Alamin Jones looked really, really off the pace, and we all know how good a player he is and has been for club, country, and the Lions even 4 years ago. So, everybody's just kind of really hoping that he has a massive game. For him and for the team, but for me, I would have had a lot more dynamism in there. Somebody like Courtney Laws starting and Ian Henderson on the bench. I think Ian Henderson can really feel unlucky about not getting selected for the 23. He was definitely the best player on the pitch there against the Canes the other night. So it's huge, and that's why Gatlin's getting paid the big bucks, is to make big calls, and he's made big calls. And as a supporter of the Lions as well, you just kind of have to, I know we all have our own opinions and people disagree, but you kind of got to respect the opinion and hope that it pays off. But a lot of people disagreeing with Warren Gatland. A lot of people disagreeing with Warren Gatland over second rows, over players being brought in who are now shipped back home again, players not getting on against the Hurricanes, lads having to front up for 80 minutes. It's a really interesting stat. So in a tier one game, there's been no front row has played 80 minutes for over 300 matches, 300 tier one matches. And then on Wednesday night, or sorry, Tuesday night against the Hurricanes, all three played 80 minutes. So the last time all three played 80 minutes was over 300 games ago. And that's just absolute madness. The boys were there, ready to go on the bench. Yes, did they deserve to be there? No, but they were there. They were putting their hands up. They were standing on the sideline wearing a Lions jersey, and they weren't utilised on the pitch. So Warren Gatland is digging a big, big hole out here, and he can fill that in slightly if he wins on Saturday. But if he doesn't, geez, you know, it's just the media, the hype, everything is just going to keep building over here.
Fez, do you think O'Mahony and Ben Teo have been thrown under the bus here? Because I even heard Gatland talking in the press conference last night saying Sonny Bill Williams did too much damage to them. So like those two lads, I know O'Mahony didn't have an amazing game, but Teo was probably the Lions' best back. Do you think those two lads have been unfairly done by Gatland?
Maybe slightly. Chatting to, you know, some of the Sky lads and people who are close to Warren Gatland said that he really, really liked Peter Romani, and you know, he could see Pete, you know, being one of his main players in the test side, and then he's just straight out of the 23. I'm not sure if he's carrying a bit of a knock or what the case is, but Pete, he hasn't really been the Pete that we see in a Munster jersey. You know, we haven't seen him making any turnovers, getting on the ground. You know, he's usually in on a couple of choke tackles, making a few turnovers there. We haven't really seen that. His ball carrying ability, Pete would be the first person to stick his hand up and say, you know, he isn't a Shawnee O'Brien or a Toby Faletau that's going to burst through tackles and get you over the gain line. So apart from the line out, you know, what else would he bring? Other than that, yes, of course, we all know how good a player he is, but he's just not at the top of his game at the minute. So yeah, it's strange. Would I say thrown under the bus? I don't think so. I just think it's really strange the way he was test captain and then he's completely left out of the squad. It's, as I mentioned there earlier on, it's just all over the place when, you know, Kieran Reid's captain All Blacks, good to go, and then like Sam Warburton's in, Peter Manny's in, it's just all over the shop. So again, Warren Gatland, big call. But just a touch on Ben Teo, I totally agree with that. I thought he was a really, really good player on Saturday for the Lions, and kind of get him go forward. Defensively, he didn't put a foot wrong. He put Sonny Bill Williams on his backside a couple of times, and I don't think Sonny Bill Williams caused too much trouble. I don't know what game Warren Gatland was watching, but I didn't see him. He tried a couple of offloads. He made a few turnovers and, you know, give the ball back to the Lions. So Ben Teo, I thought, was going to start. I possibly could have seen Johnny Sexton playing 10 ahead of Farrell, but you know, obviously Sexton's playing 10, but they went with Farrell in the centre. As I said, the weather is due to change dramatically and it's due to get very, very wet. So good luck to Owen Farrell having to stop Sonny Bill Williams on crash balls.
Yeah, what's funny over here, like one of the big news stories coming out of New Zealand is the treatment by the media of Warren Gatland. Obviously the Herald put up the front page the other day when he was dressed up as a clown, and you have Steve Hansen ringing in radio stations, and like it's a huge story. Like there in New Zealand, is it the biggest story in town as well? The kind of, I suppose, depiction of Warren Gatland as a bit of a bumbling idiot, really, isn't it? That seems to be the kind of narrative that's going on there.
No, I totally agree with you, and but he doesn't help himself, like, does he really? You know, he doesn't help himself, and he's his own worst enemy at times. But it's just disappointing that the kind of the last week has been about the coaches instead of about the two teams, you know, instead of about the players. And you pick up a newspaper, you're reading about Warren Gatland instead of reading about, you know, how well, you know, one of the players played at the weekend, or, you know, the amazing try that they scored, or, you know, there's none of that. It's just Hansen versus Gatland. And again, the whole build up over here in the media is Hansen versus Gatland round two, you know, on Saturday. Well, it's not yesterday the head coaches, but, you know, it's the players we should be talking about, and it should be the players making the headlines in the papers, more so for the right reasons. And it's just getting out of hand.
Yeah, do you have sympathy for Gatland, Fez? I mean, it's getting a bit personal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is getting a bit personal. Do I have sympathy for him? Like, I think Warren Gatland's the master of mind games throughout the years. You know, the two lads will know, you know, over the years when he was with Wales, you know, all the rubbish he came out with in the press before big games, and you know, so he's a master of that. But at the same time, it is getting a bit below the belt, and a part of me just wants, part of me is kind of just wanting them to get a win on Saturday to shut a lot of people up and say, right, look, listen, I'm the boss, I've made the big decisions, you know, I'm going to roll with the punches, and that's why I really want the boys to get a win, just to ease all this pressure that's just being piled upon them.
Yeah, we didn't. We had Marcus Horan on Sports Show Live last night, and he came up with kind of an interesting theory, I suppose you could call it. He was saying how like the media treatment of Gatland over there could be linked with the fact that maybe one day that he'd like to get that New Zealand job. The New Zealand but the New Zealand media don't like the way he plays, and they don't want him next or near that job. So that's why they're going in so hard on him to tarnish his reputation, so he'll never get it. I mean, do you see something in that at all, or?
Possibly. I think I was out playing golf today, and we were just chatting about it, and we were all in agreement that he's never ever going to get a job back in New Zealand for a club or country. That's just, they really dislike him, and you know, I think obviously Warren Gatland's got a big, you know, his contract to run out with Wales, but after that I don't think he'd move back to the Southern Hemisphere to coach. He's his own man, and you know, he's done well, he's won a lot of trophies with Wales over the years, so he comes with a good reputation. But in terms of the Kiwis, you know, they don't really like him, and they love beating him, and they're all ranting and raving, ready to beat them again on Saturday.
Yeah, guys, let's get some predictions for the game on Saturday. Fionn, what do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be another New Zealand win, just looking with the way the lineup again, and just with the changes that the Lions have made. I think defensively the Lions could be a little bit weaker in the back line. That's what I'm worried about. I think attacking, they look good, but like Fez said there, if it's going to be raining this weekend, like New Zealand handled it so well in Auckland, I can't see them losing.
James?
Yeah, similar, head and heart, I suppose. Obviously would love to see some performance, you know. I think if we can get that parity up front, which we didn't get, and I was actually going to say something to you about that, Fez, about how you thought the pack were going. Like, you know, I think beforehand we had a bit of a quick, everyone was saying, oh, set piece, we'll get them in the set piece and line out and scrum, and we actually didn't. So, like, that was extremely disappointing. But now if we're talking wet conditions, it's going to even bigger challenge, and it's going to bring some of those selections into question, I think. Love to see a big performance, and then, I don't know, maybe try and sneak one in the third one.
Not very optimistic, though.
No, unfortunately not. Like, you know, I'd love to be a bit more, like, the bottom of my heart, I'd love to say, look, we can do it, but just too strong.
Pat, you've been up since 1 a.m. this morning with excitement about the second test. How do you think it's going to go?
Yeah, the 10-12 thing kept me up there the last few hours. I think it's going to be a lot tighter. I think New Zealand are actually going to enjoy grinding this one out a lot more, and kicking penalties and stuff. I think they're going to enjoy this, and if it rains, all the better for them as well. I think it's going to be less than 5-point win for New Zealand, and I think there might be some kind of controversial moment, but they're going to get over the line, win the series.
Well sold, Pat. Well sold. We'll watch it. Fez, lastly to you, how do you think it's going to go?
I totally agree with the lads, and just to touch on Jimmy's point about the pack again, they don't help themselves. You know, Graham Rowntree doing post-match interviews and saying, I haven't seen them scrum anybody, they're not as good as they think, and everything else. So again, they just don't help themselves, and I thought they were poor, and especially in the last half an hour, they could beat up a little bit up front. But I totally agree, if they get parity, then hopefully they can get the ball into Sexton and Farrell's hands and cause them a bit of trouble. But I said it last week, I went with the New Zealand win. I didn't think they'd win by the margin they did, but I'm going to go for a New Zealand win again, but a bit tighter, maybe 5-6 points, something like that.
Okay, and if you want updates on how Fez is getting on in New Zealand, you can follow him on Instagram. It's Stephen Ferris 6. It's really exciting. We have it open here. We're scrolling through. So, Fez, enjoy the game. Enjoy the rest of New Zealand, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much. I'm away for a beer. See you later.
Go on, mind yourself. Good luck. That was Fez in New Zealand. Great stuff. Up next, we have Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes to give us the odds for the second test.
Murder, She Wrote is the perfect thing to watch during the day. You can watch the start, fall off for 40 minutes, come back, see the end perfect. You know what I mean? You've missed nothing really. Remember Raj Kev in the Killiney, he used to have to bring two TVs into the room, one for you for Cheltenham. Like every red-blooded male in the country, he'd be watching the horse racing, whereas I'd have a TV for myself for things like Murder, She Wrote and Houses Under the Hammer. Murder, She Wrote is the perfect thing to watch during the day.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Now we're joined by Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes, fresh from Ascot, back to make us some money for this weekend, second test. Hayley, how are you?
Good.
Again, myself and Patter here. Hayley gives us a good tip, yet we don't place any money on it.
Yeah, pen and paper is ready here beside me.
Yeah.
Bold, I'm going to write it down in bold. Whatever you tell me.
I told you, I said Lady Aurelia is the bet of the week at Royal Ascot. And it transpires that the handicapper said she was the best winner of that race in many years. So you missed out. I've nothing for this weekend for the Irish Derby though.
Yeah, and you've no sympathy for us either. I can tell from the tone in your voice. Let's talk about the second test between the Lions and the All Blacks. What do Ladbrokes have in terms of the winner of the second test and handicaps and all that?
Yeah, so we're top price at 5-1 for a Lions victory. Some other firms a bit more optimistic. They're going for like 4-1, 9-2. But the New Zealand 7-1 on to win it in the outright betting. I think the last time the Lions were in this position in 2005, going to Wellington, they lost like 48-18, and I think only two Lions sides have come from 1-0 down to win the series. The handicap betting is -14. If you think we're going to lose even more than that, you can back us +17 at 4-6. And if you think it's going to be a tighter match, the Lions +8 is 13-8. And you know, with sort of the optimism that was going into the first test all but evaporated.
Yeah.
If patriotism has gone out the window, you can back winning margins for New Zealand. So if you think they're going to win between 11 and 20 points, you can back them at 13-5. If you think it's going to be narrower, 1-5 points, 13-2.
Yeah.
And then you can get stuck into the first half betting. If you think New Zealand are going to be leading 1-3, Lions 11-4. But obviously there's huge changes. Some changes happening this week that... Warren Gatland's obviously really tried to reinvigorate the team.
Yeah, like, for sure. Yeah, guys, like just in terms of winning margin, I mean, you both went for a New Zealand win. James, do you think it's going to be close?
Yeah, I think Pat had just mentioned it there. Said 1-5 points, 13-2 is not bad. You know, I think given conditions as well, and if you're going to look at lumping on, you're going to go in the handicap if it's -14. So look at conditions there. If it's gonna. The heavens open up, as Fez said it would. It's going to bring it in that tightness.
Yeah, what about you, Pat? Is like the 1-5 points isn't a bad show.
Yeah, there, yeah. Well, I saw James scribbling that down there. I know what he's going to be doing when this is over. And for once, I think I might go with it as well. And it's there's no kind of patriotism here for me. I suppose it's four countries, so I won't feel too bad about going against the line. So if I was going to throw a bit of money on something, I think I'd do something like that. I think it's going to be a really tight game at the weekend. And as I said, I think New Zealand are going to enjoy it being a tight game and grinding it out. So yeah, that's a good bet.
Yeah, but it's funny the way it works, because obviously the All Blacks, I mean, Raj spoke about it earlier about having, like, they know what they're doing. Like, they're a country, they know their systems, but the Lions bringing four countries together makes it, I suppose, that bit unpredictable about how they will actually turn up on the day, if you know what I mean. So, like, you kind of know what you're going to get from the All Blacks, but from the Lions, you're not too sure.
Yeah, and that gets reflected in the betting, as you can see. Like, even first try score, I don't know how many you said it was it how many All Blacks there are ahead before you get an Irish?
Yeah, it's 12 All Blacks to score the first try before the first Lions guy comes in. That's Elliot Daly at 18-1.
There you go, exactly. Page 2 of Google search, which isn't this isn't where you want to be. But look, that I think that sums it up a little bit. You know, it sums up and backs up your point there and what you said.
Yeah, in terms of first try scorer, Hayley, who are the favourites there?
Sort of led by Nholo and Ione, I think, at the front end of the betting around 15-2, I think, like that. First team to score, New Zealand at 1-2. First team to score try, 1-3. And if you fancy the Lions to burst out of the blocks, you can back them at 2-1.
Yeah, guys, like obviously Naholo and Ione are just incredibly dangerous guys. I mean, that probably wouldn't be a bad bet either. I mean, getting the ball out to those guys.
Yeah, yeah, it's... I think it's a shame that the Lions bet isn't too bad, actually, 2-1 to get the first try. They had a good start last week, but yeah, only to knock a guy out of a team that's got 46 tries in 53 games and Savea, and then to come on and score two tries in only like your second start is unbelievable from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. 20 years old as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the only man delighted Savea is out is Doug Howlett, I'd say, because he's still holding on to that record.
He said he's even releasing videos. He's knows the end is nigh.
I wonder what price Sean O'Brien is to score a try at any time.
He's 25-1 to get the first try. I don't think it's going to be as spectacular as last week, but if he gets it, I don't think we'll care. But we'll wrap up there. Hayley, thank you so much for coming in. A big thanks to James, thanks to Fionn, thanks to Raj, thanks to Stephen Ferris, thanks to Pat, thanks to Shane Dempsey, who was on sound. We'll be back next Thursday with a brand new podcast. As I said before, you can subscribe to it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, SoundCloud, and every other good podcast app to get it straight to your phone. I'm Joe Harrington, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
The Hard Yards, brought to you by Ladbrokes, passionate about sport.